Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Well, the New York Times is out with a fresh hit piece against our buddy Linda McMahon. Yes, that's right. That didn't take him very long to go after Linda McMahon and World Wrestling Entertainment. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Before I get into that, though, I want to mention there's more money going to Ukraine today. Blinken announcing billions more dollars going to Ukraine. They're trying to get every dollar to go out the door to Ukraine as fast as they possibly... Hey, God, sorry, about to sneeze. As fast as they possibly can. Because they know that Trump's coming in and this is going to end if they don't do something to keep it going. So they're coordinating now with NATO. And here's the Secretary General of NATO, Mark Rutte, answering questions from the press about what happens next for Ukraine. Pay very close attention here to what he says, cut number 10.
So I wonder if you could outline what is the offer that has been made to Ukraine, and in your mind, is it sensible to say that those areas that have been occupied by Russia will invariably end up remaining in Russian hands?
Let me be very firm on this, and here I will quote Zelensky end of February 2022, when some countries offered him a plane to bring him into safety in Poland, and he said, I don't need a ride, I need ammunition. I would now argue that Ukraine doesn't need more ideas on what a peace process could look like, and you and I can sit together and drink a cup of coffee and we can think of many ways how to deal with a peace process whenever that starts. But I would argue, let's not have all these discussions step by step on what a peace process might look like. Make sure that Ukraine has what it needs to get to a position of strength when those peace talks start, when the Ukrainian government has decided they are ready to do so. And that is what we will very much focus on the next 2 days, how to get more military aid into Ukraine, more missile defense into Ukraine, a better coordination of everything we are doing, making sure that the command in Wiesbaden will be up and running as soon as possible, that the pledge is implemented. That is what we need to do. So I would say more military aid and less discussions on what a peace process could look like. You and I are smart enough to think of many ways how to deal with that, but we have to bring Ukraine to that position that it can start, and it can only start when they are in a position of strength.
More military aid and less discussions on what a peace process could look like. Today, Secretary Blinken announced that Ukraine is getting Stinger missiles. This is all from American defense contractors. Stinger missiles, counter-unmanned aerial systems, ammunition for high-mobility artillery rocket systems, 155-millimeter, 105-millimeter artillery ammunition, unmanned aerial systems, non-persistent anti-personnel landmines, which they said that we would never use, Javelin and AT-4 anti-armor systems, tube-launched, optically guided wire-tracked tow missiles, small arms and ammunition, demolitions equipment and munitions, equipment to protect critical national infrastructure, and spare parts, ancillary equipment, services, training, and transportation. Now, don't forget the batteries, because there's nothing worse than that on Christmas morning. Am I right? Kid opens up a new toy, no batteries. Oh, man, does that stink. You know that the souring of the American people on the FBI is entirely its own fault. And it's because at one point we thought of the FBI as a revered law enforcement agency. Frank Church exposed the FBI's weaponization in the 1970s. We thought things got better, and then things got very, very bad, very politically bad, as we saw throughout the years with Trump's presidency and the years leading up to his presidency, and what we've seen since Biden became president. CNN's Harry Enten highlights Americans' drastic souring on the Federal Bureau of Investigation and why I think Kash Patel will ultimately get in there, because the American people clearly want change. And Kash is the right man to do it. Cut 17.
If you look here, FBI is doing an excellent or good job. Look at this time trend line. You go back to 2014, right? It was 59% of Americans, then 57% in 2019, 50% in 2022. Look at where we are today. My goodness gracious, just 41% of Americans think the FBI is doing an excellent or good job. That is by far the lowest number this century. The bottom line is, during the Trump administration, obviously there were the investigations into Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You saw a little bit of drop then. And then post January 6th, look at that drop, 50%, now 41%. My goodness gracious, K-Paul.
See? David Ignatius, though, of the Washington Post, talking about Kash Patel, this man has no sense of irony or what the hell is happening, or maybe he just doesn't care. But listen to this absurd allegation he makes about what Kash Patel would do as director of the FBI under Donald Trump. This is so ridiculous considering what this country's gone through. Cut number 7.
Away, he wanted to install a Trump loyalist in the key position at the National Security Agency, one of our most sensitive intelligence collection facilities. He talked with the CIA about reducing the Pentagon's support for CIA operations. Whole string of things. He made clear to the people that he was working with at the Pentagon that he was not there to do the normal job of being a chief of staff, but to do the president's bidding. And I think what's of concern when you think about him as FBI director is the FBI director has extraordinary powers to conduct surveillance on American citizens. And those powers to listen into phone calls, to read mail, so to speak, would be directed by somebody who has shown that he has a very political agenda. And as you said in his book, he had an enemies list.
Amazing. We the American people have been spied on by our government, censored by our government, but he acts like none of that's ever happened. And Kash Patel is going to start doing it. Unbelievable. So the New York Times is out with a hit piece on Linda McMahon, who's been nominated to be the Secretary of Education. She was the Small Business Administration administrator under President Trump in the first administration. This is the headline. Linda McMahon, whose resume mainly rests on running World Wrestling Entertainment, has faced questions for years over whether she is suitable for important education posts. Her wrestling empire was said to harm children. Trump chose her for education. Now, I don't know how World Wrestling Entertainment has hurt children. It was criticized for promoting violence, steroid use, and sexualized content. In the early aughts, Ms. McMahon would go so far as to engage in the WWE's theatrics herself. She kicked her husband, Vince McMahon, the company's co-founder, in the groin in one routine. In another, she appeared to slap her daughter, Stephanie, and knock her to the floor. Now, it's wrestling. It's entertainment. I actually asked Patrick last night because I saw a promo for some big wrestling event that's coming up in our area. I said, buddy, would you ever want to watch wrestling? He goes, Dad, it's all scripted. I grew up watching wrestling. Back then, it was World Wrestling Federation, the WWF, and Hulk Hogan, and Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and the Iron Sheik, and it was great. It was great. I had the good guys and the bad guys, Andre the Giant. Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. But it was always BS. And you know what? I never took a steel chair and beat it over one of my classmates' heads. I never climbed to the top of something and did the Superfly Snuka thing with the hands and jumped off. And Tito Santana actually wound up becoming the mayor of a town, speaking of Morris County, in North Jersey, believe it or not. He was a Republican. But I never did any of the things because I knew it was a joke. And just like I don't watch movies, it's like if a Hollywood actor was appointed to a position in the Biden administration, let's say George Clooney was. Do you think the New York Times would do a hit piece on all the movies that George Clooney has done that promoted violence? They say Clooney was nominated Secretary of State. Do you think they would do that? Like, well, and you know, in Ocean's 11, I mean, he robs a casino, which promotes gambling, drinking, smoking, cheating, and ultimately robbery. Like really? The bat nipples alone should have him disqualified from any position in any situation. Yes, thank you, Justin. How did I forget that? What did you just text me?
Jesse the Body Ventura was the governor of Minnesota after he was finished with his wrestling career.
Thank you. How did I forget that? Guy ran as a libertarian governor. Jesse the Body Ventura. I mean, and The Rock, by the way, The Rock, who is probably, I would argue, one of the most successful actors of all time, Dwayne Johnson. He's got a movie out right now called Red One or something. It's like Santa gets kidnapped and they go to rescue him. He was The Rock. You smell what The Rock is cooking? That's him. That's The Rock. He's the voice of Maui in the children's movie Moana. Why don't they criticize Disney for having a wrestler be the voice of an animated character in a kid's film? Huh? Huh? Just saying. I mean, The Rock, as far as I know, Justin, was a pretty badass wrestler back in the day.
Oh, yeah, 100%. If they would have seen what The Rock was doing with the corporation and the corporate ministry back in the 90s, like, he was a bad guy, but people still love him all the same.
He was literally a bad guy, right?
Yeah, and I just texted you, too. One of the most notorious bad guys in wrestling, Kane, Glenn Jacobs. He's been the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee since, like, what, 2018?
Wow. Now, of course, when you get past the BS excuse about wrestling, and this is the big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria at Veneria Dental. If you're hesitant about getting that complex dental procedure, call Dr. Mike for a second opinion. He'll put your mind to ease. Schedule your free consultation today at 856-786-2020. Then they go on to talk about her support for the America First Policy Institute, a little known right wing organization formed in 2021. And then they go on to talk about her support for school choice, her tenure on the Connecticut School Board, which offers little insight into how she might run the Department of Education. Records show that Ms. McMahon visited two Stanford charter schools on the board's behalf. But of course, she wants to expand career and technical education, which is something that they don't want. And they don't want charter schools, and they don't want school choice, and they don't want any of these things. And yes, you're right, Matt DeSantis. The Rock may be the single most popular person in America. Like, if The Rock ran for president, he probably would win. Everybody loves the guy. But if he did win, if he ran as a Democrat, you would never get a hit piece like this in the New York Times about how he promoted violence and hit people with chairs. And he was a mean, bad guy. The Rock was bad. That would never, ever, ever happen. This might be the dumbest article I've ever read in my entire life. Honestly, of all the articles I've ever read, of all the articles DeSantis has ever sent me, this might be the dumbest article. Her wrestling empire was said to harm children. Trump chose her for education. She can't be anywhere near kids. Oh, my God, because Randy Macho Man Savage had a snake with Miss Elizabeth. You can't have children watching that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, we got more to come, including the most absurd thing that's happening at the University of Maryland. Wait till I tell you about this new class they've rolled out. The intersection of fatness and blackness. No, I'm not making that up. Plus new gender-changing dolls. Your kids can swap private parts on dolls. I'm not making that up either. We have a lot more to get to in our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We're all shocked, by the revelations regarding COVID and Fauci and the investigation. And yes, I know, it's all incredibly shocking. Welcome back, our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. I'll tell you what, University of Maryland has gone freaking nuts since I was there. I had that one professor, you remember the guy who was going on, and we talked to Dr. Wilfred Riley about this. Was going on about all the rural white rage. Remember that guy, that crazy guy? Well, the University of Maryland now offers a course called, wait for it, Intro to Fat Studies, Fatness, Blackness, and Their Intersections. According to its description, the course examines fatness as an area of human difference subject to privilege and discrimination that intersects with other systems of oppression based on gender, race, class, sexual orientation, and ability. Fatness and blackness as a social justice issue, Intro to Fat Studies. Now, my Intro to Fat Studies was different. It was the gaining the freshman 15, obviously, in my freshman year in Easton Hall, and that was mostly due to drinking a lot of Milwaukee's Best, the Beast, as we call it, and also eating cheese fries at the dining hall, and they had late night nacho cheese bar. Cheese steaks from the Philadelphia Cheesesteak Factory in College Park, which I doubt is still there. Ratsy's Pizza. Cluck You Chicken. The garlic parmesan sandwich was my go-to late night. And of course, quarter pitcher night at the VU. Which they never cleaned the taps, apparently, so also the tapeworm ingestion. You'd think the tapeworms would have ate more. But anyway, that was my introduction to fatness. But this is further with the academia, social justice nonsense, and the reason why Trump won. Again, this is part of the reason why Trump won. This is from the course description, and this is courtesy of humanevents.com. Though we will look at fatness as intersectional, this course will particularly highlight the relationship between fatness and blackness. We approach this area of study through an interdisciplinary humanities and social science lens, which emphasizes fatness as a social justice issue. Mm-hmm. The course closes with an examination of fat liberation as liberation for all bodies, with a particular emphasis on performing arts and activism as a vehicle for liberation and challenging fatmesia. Fatmesia. What the hell does fatmesia mean? I got to look that up. Hang on. Fatmesia. Hang on a second here. It's a term used to describe the prejudice and hatred of people who are fat. Fatphobia. Or sizeism. Based on a belief that being thinness is superior. I thought there was a time in this country where we all decided collectively that being obese was not healthy for you. Now it's a social justice issue to remain obese, even though it's unhealthy. Like, I recently lost some weight. Figured, you know, with all these TV hits, I should probably lose a few pounds. My cholesterol's come down. My triglycerides have come down. My blood pressure's come down. I'm sleeping better. I'm drinking less. I feel better. I just feel better. More energy. I mean, look, it's almost to the end of the show, and I'm still going. I thought that was a good thing, but they always have to tie the lefty, loony, faculty lounge nonsense into everything that they do. So this is where we get fatness is rooted in a sense of blame and presumed moral failing. It is influenced by capitalism and racism. Huh? Well, I guess that's true because everybody starves in communist countries. I guess that's true. They have a point there. In capitalist countries, you can eat whatever you want. You could buy whatever you want. It's the self-control. Now, this is also, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, you could also say this is a precursor to getting America hooked on Ozempic and the other weight loss drugs, the injections as early as possible. Because, you see, you're a victim of capitalism and racism and fatism and fatmesia and fatphobia. It's nothing to do with you. At all. And it's clearly a social justice issue because of all those skinny white people running around. Well, as a chubby white guy, I can say firsthand that this is absolutely freaking ridiculous. University of Maryland College Park. This is college nowadays. I mean, this is the kind of thing about college that just, you know, we go. I don't think if you went into a job interview and the interviewer said, "What have you taken recently?" And the respondent said, "Well, I'm taking a course in fat studies, but the intersection of a blackness and fatness, that will put you in a position to get much of a job. So the utility of this and the job market is probably pretty questionable," said Richard Vatz, a retired professor from Towson University. He mocked the course in comments to the National News Desk. The piece first appeared at Turning Point USA. I have to be honest with you, this is kind of a laughable subject. This stuff is just ludicrous. Hey, listen, come on in for the interview. Let's talk about your business experience. Why you want this job? What did you learn in college? Well, I learned that being fat is racist. What? Being fat is racist? No. It's fat mystic. I'm fat mystic. That's what I learned. I studied the chronology of fatness, racism, and the intersectionality of the get the hell out of my office. Get out. You see, the Democrat Party has doubled down on this crap. This is why they lost the election. I mean, there's so many reasons, but this is one of the big reasons they lost the election. They've doubled down on this crap, this faculty lounge nonsense. And it's why they are losing. Because they've decided, and James Carville has said this, and I must have said this on the show a million times, they're going to be the party of the faculty elites and the faculty lounge and the coastal elites. Latinx, I don't know if this is real or not. Johnny Cook sent me this on Twitter last night. Some guy with a thing that says Italian X. Try bringing that to the Italian American Social Club and see what happens to you. No, really, show up with that. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Show up with that to the Italian American Social Club in South Philadelphia. And see what happens with your Italian X shirt. They've abandoned the working class people. And they said to the working class, "Hey, screw you. We're going to pay back the loans for people that are paying $100,000 a year to learn about the intersectionality between fatness and blackness. Meanwhile, you and your plumbing truck and your tools and your small business, good luck. Trying to work for a living? Good luck." It's so ridiculous. It really is. It's funny. And as a kid, I mean, I guess you can say as an Italian American kid, it was carbism because we ate so much pasta and rolls in my family growing up. Carbism, I guess. I don't know. Oh, do you know, as we're thinking about all this, too, the nonsense regarding who knows best about society and society's ilk and everything else like this. This is really important. They are training an entire generation to be prepared to be offended by everything. And this is still happening. And you need to know this. This is still happening. Piers Morgan Uncensored. Why do we have to endure this crap? He reacts to the British Board of Film Classification issuing a trigger warning on Wicked, the movie Wicked, about the Wicked Witch of the West and the Good Witch, Blinda, for potential discrimination towards, and I kid you not, wait for it, green-skinned women. Yes, that's right, I said it, green-skinned women. This is not a joke. This is a real thing. No, green-skinned people are not real. That's not real. Although I guess if you believe in lizard people, maybe so. But nevertheless, this is amazing. Take a listen.
Hilariously, the British Board of Film Classification has issued a trigger warning on Wicked because of potential discrimination against green-skinned women and persecution of talking animals. The warning issued on their website states, a green-skinned woman is mocked, bullied, and humiliated because of her skin color. A green-skinned woman.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as a green-skinned woman in the real world. Even Ernest knows there are no green-skinned women. Right, Ernest? Yes?
No, I agree.
Thank you.
I agree.
No, I'll come back to you, Ernest. I'll come back to you. I just want to get clarification. There are no green-skinned women in the world. Esther, why do we have to endure this?
I think, to be honest, I'm such a cynic. First of all, I also hate musicals. I there's not enough money you could pay me to go and watch that film. But also, I think I'm the cynic in me is saying this is a PR move. This is saying, oh, slap something ridiculous on it so that the Daily Mail will pick it up, which it has, by the way. One of the most read newspapers in the country has picked it up. I don't think any...
Let me think about this. This movie's made like $1 billion in opening weekend. And I did sit through it, and I did endure it, because my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter, Claire, who's making her first reconciliation soon, which is why I gotta run out of here, she wanted me to take her to see it, and she loved it, and I'm a good dad, and I did. And it was a lot of singing and talking animals, and I put up with it, because I'm a good dad. But honestly, I was surprised that I didn't think the film was that woke, to be honest with you. And I didn't think that the green skin community would be so thick-skinned or thin-skinned about it. I think people with green skin have very thick skin, like the Hulk, for example. He's technically a white dude, but then he turns green. So I don't know if he's a member of the green skin community or not from a technical perspective. Anyway, let's keep going with the clip here.
Everyone's going to mistake the discrimination of green skin people, one, because it doesn't exist. I mean, why didn't they draw parallels with, I don't know, yellow skin people with jaundice? It's ridiculous. They're doing this as
I have that from drinking so much. My liver, I do jaundice is true. So there, that is a real thing, yellow people. Oh, it's also a thing that Franklin Delano Roosevelt used to scare people into going along with Japanese internment during World War II. No, really, true, the Yellow Scare. Look it up. Google it. It's a real historical thing. That's the Democrat Party for you. The internment of Japanese citizens and American Germans and American Italians, too. Anyway.
PR stuff.
And the persecution.
No one is going to be offended by
and
this.
Earnest.
Yeah, that is by far the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. The offense for green-skinned people. With a green community, rise up and say, we will not take this anymore, your abuse and your discrimination, sir. And then you have this from the University of Minnesota, rolling out a project called My Gender Dolls as a therapeutic tool for kids to express their gender identity. This is from our friends at Libs of TikTok. Let's take a listen, shall we? Driven to discover, University of Minnesota.
My name's Ashley, and I'm excited to talk to you about a project we've been working on at the National Center for Gender Spectrum Health called My Gender Dolls. These dolls were designed by transgender and gender diverse artists. They are intended to be a therapeutic tool for transgender and gender diverse kids to explore how they see themselves or how they'd like to see themselves in terms of gender identity and gender expression. The My Gender dolls are made up of multiple layers, and the first of these are the bodies. Because all kids should be able to see themselves represented, we have lots of different options for skin tones and body sizes. Along with the choice of bodies, the My Gender dolls also include genitals. This is important because kids can learn that all gender identities and gender expressions are valid, no matter how your body looks.
Right.
There are lots of different ways to be a girl, a boy, or anywhere along a gender spectrum.
Do you see this indoctrination of our children? I mean, this is the insanity. Again, this is why Trump won, because parents like me cannot stand this crap that we are teaching children. I'm not talking about adults, children, boys and girls. You can swap your genitals. The dolls, the doll, remember Mr. Potato Head? How you could take off the eyes and now you could do that with the schwanz. The Mr. Potato Head schwanz, but obviously he never had one. And Mrs. Potato Head, and now there's no gender. There's no Mr. and Mrs. It's just Potato Head. Because we live in the most ridiculous time on earth. But no, you can swap the junk. Like you can take the junk off the Ken doll and put it on Barbie. Basically is how this breaks down. This is so ridiculous. But again, it's about indoctrination. That's what this is. As early as possible to get the kids indoctrinated into this crap.
Another layer to the dolls is the internal reproductive parts. It is important for kids to learn about what's on the inside of their bodies. Bodies are amazing, and there's so many different kinds. Let's keep layering. Clothes. We all have to get dressed. Mm-hmm. Gender expression is our way of telling the world how we want to be seen. My gender dolls have a lot of clothing and style choices. Mm-hmm. Kids learn that regardless of gender identity, they can express themselves in lots of ways.
Right.
Every article of clothing and accessory works with all sizes of bodies. So what's next for My Gender Dolls? Well, we want to continue to hire transgender and gender diverse artists to expand the range of doll options. With continued funding, the goal is to make this...
But by the way, isn't that discrimination to the non-transgender, non-gender diverse community if you just hire these people? I'm asking for a friend. I just want to know. I thought the rules were we hired people regardless of race, class, sex, or sexual orientation, status, and blah, 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 blah. You notice that about the left, how they do that? The left does that all the time. They will literally discriminate when it suits them. They will discriminate whenever it suits them, and then they'll scream about discrimination whenever it suits them, and they will do these things. They will do these things all of the time. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Man. This is so ridiculous. Honestly, it really, really is. But listen, there's a lot of craziness on the internet right now. That's why you need to be protected at all times. And that's why I recommend to you DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo, Privacy Pro. Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo is the solution that you need. Sorry, it's late in the show. It's the solution that you need. And you do need this, okay? You need this. Because there's so many people out there that want to steal your data. And part of the Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo is personal information removal. That's right. So let's say, you know, you're going online and you're looking up and you see your address, your phone number, your email. You say, I don't want those things on there. They shouldn't be exposed for people to see. Right, they shouldn't. DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro removes them for you, and it keeps searching and scanning all the time to remove those results because they keep coming back unless you have a service that will root them out. DuckDuckGo also includes – the Privacy Pro includes the VPN. Now, you always want to be hooked up to the VPN. It's essential whenever you're on Wi-Fi to be on a VPN. And not all VPNs are created equal. You have to understand that. And then the other part of this is personal identity theft restoration if, God forbid, your identity is ever stolen. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for a 30-day free trial by going to duckduckgo.com/1210. Duckduckgo.com/1210. For me, it's worked wonders. Removing personal data from the internet, huge. Knowing that I'm secure whenever I'm on the road or at the Zioli home studio or back at the studio in Philly, wherever. I'm secure, and knowing that my personal identity is protected. That's what you get for DuckDuckGo. 30-day free trial, then it's only $9.99 a month. That's right, $10 a month. You can't pass this up. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Sign up now.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Eco Health Alliance, the Department of Justice, Peter Daszak, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Asanto Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law. All at the target of investigations. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today, our fourth and final hour. Before I get out of here to go to my daughter's reconciliation, I just wanted to share this with you. This is a report from Fox News regarding this investigation of a secret investigation launched by the DOJ. Take a listen.
Daszak is at the center of the controversy surrounding speculation about how COVID-19 may have started. House Republicans say his firm, Echo Health, quote, facilitated experiments on bats at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Ground zero for theories that COVID-19 came from a lab leak.
They're based on myth and legends.
The federal government shut down Daszak's Wuhan work in 2020. Lawmakers accuse him of playing loose with a $4 million grant and conducting risky experiments. Lawmakers believe Daszak tried to cover up research.
Once COVID outbreak happened, you labeled the lab leak theory as conspiracy theory.
That's not what I said, actually. I said that there were conspiracy theories.
Lawmakers suggest that since Daszak wasn't forthright, that may have fueled speculation about what went down in Wuhan.
You knew that there were difficulties when the taxpayers' money is used for scientific research. It is.
It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing how these people get away with this stuff.
It's imperative that people comply with the rules.
Some House lawmakers doubt that COVID came from nature. The intelligence community says, quote, most agencies say with low confidence that COVID-19 was not engineered. But the FBI and the Department of Energy say it could be from a lab leak. However, Democrats doubt there was a conspiracy.
This is not the same as uncovering COVID-19's origin, nor is it evidence that our scientific community caused and has sought to cover up the origins of the pandemic.
You know, the final report is out, and now that the final report is out, and everything is there, I think it's time for the Republican Senate to really hold these people accountable, and I know that Senator Rand Paul is going to do that. The Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, the final report is the most thorough review of the pandemic conducted to date. The report ensures COVID-19 accountability and serves as a roadmap for the U.S. to prepare for and respond to future pandemics. Speaker Mike Johnson says the COVID Select Subcommittee's report has delivered a careful evaluation of our nation's pandemic response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The crisis exposed serious failures in leadership, and this report is a step in the right direction to rebuild trust and guarantee America is better. He goes on to say America should be better prepared for future events. Representative Brad Wenstrup and the subcommittee's important work will be instrumental in restoring much needed transparency and accountability. You know, I think that the bottom line here is that we were all told, and this goes into the battle for information that we're dealing with all the time. We were told constantly that COVID came from an undercooked bat burger with a side of pangolin fries and a raccoon dog aioli. We all know it came from a lab. We know it was engineered. We know the Chinese military was involved. And we know that COVID was a bioweapon. And now that we have the details on this and the gain-of-function research, we can understand better and connect the dots in how all this came to be. And I still believe China was waging a biological war in the United States of America. And I have every reason to believe that because the first time COVID showed up was during the Military World Games, where the United States military was there in Wuhan in the fall of 2019 when the virus was first exposed. So there you go. Now, you know, we talked earlier about the UFOs up in Morris County, New Jersey. I asked a buddy of mine. He just wrote me. He said, to tell you the truth, the other night at about 3 a.m., I was up and looking out the window, and I saw this real bright object in the distance. I knew it wasn't a star and thought it might be a planet, but it was way too big. And then the story came out the next day of these UFOs. What's happening up in North Jersey right now? And it's crazy because the FBI has joined the investigation to this. I don't believe we'll ever get the truth on any of this. I really don't. I just don't. Because we're lied to all the time. You know, that's why we need to get people in there who are going to be disruptors and give us the honest truth about things. That's what we need. And this is the kind of stuff that makes everybody nervous. And this is from NBC. So here, take a listen to this report here.
FBI is now getting involved in an investigation into these mysterious, apparently small car-sized drones that people are spotting flying over New Jersey in the middle of the night. Look at this. One woman there took the video you're seeing. So that's it. It looks like it's flying pretty low. And from that perspective, it looks very large, right? And all those lights in the sky that you see there, see those lights? Those are apparently drones as well, they say, seeming to fly in a V formation, with the whole saga stressing people out nearby.
We're all completely unnerved. I didn't sleep last night. When I would get up and look out my window at 2 a.m., 4 a.m., they were still hovering. I got up at 5:30 this morning, and they were still there. As the sun was starting to rise, they went back in the same direction they came from. And I expect they'll be back as soon as the sun goes down tonight.
Let's bring in Tom Winter. What's up with the mysterious drones, Tom?
Right, Allie. Well, not to go all Scully and Mulder on us here.
Do it.
Law enforcement is concerned about this. They have put out a statement, the local sheriff's office and local prosecutor's office in Morris County. So Morris County, New Jersey, pretty much the kind of the center of where this activity has been occurring, along with Somerset County. So they're about an hour-ish west of here. Don't throw things at your screen. I know that it could be double that amount of time given traffic, but just to give folks a sense of where we are in referring to New York City. As far as the size of them. Multiple eyewitnesses have reported, and obviously we've seen the video here, you've just pointed it out, the size of these. It's not quite clear to law enforcement that they are car-sized at this point, but they do not appear to be kind of the homemade type that would fit on a desk. Whether or not they're the kind that would fit in a garage, well, that's going to be a bigger question. They really want the evidence here, Hallie. They want to be able to get their hands on this or know where they are flying.
It's crazy, right? And what I want to know is, are we sure that these are friendly? How do we know? I mean, we don't have a commander in chief who knows what the hell's going on. So remember the Chinese spy balloon that flew literally across our country? Do we have any idea? The FBI joins the investigation now. And another story from ABC 7 out of New York, which we shared earlier, the FBI and the New Jersey State Police are now asking for any public information after reports of drones have been seen flying around Morris County last week. The nightly drone sightings in central New Jersey involve larger than hobbyist type drones, and they raise questions, and they've imposed drone restrictions while authorities investigate. The sheriff up there said there's no advisable immediate danger to the public at this time. Anyone with information about the drones is encouraged to call the FBI. And meanwhile, we got a president who is not in command of his facilities, his faculties. This stuff, and we have the Chinese spy balloon. You're like, what are you going to do, right? January 20th can't come soon enough. All right, listen, have a great rest of your night. The Jimmy Failla Show is up next, Fox Across America. Don't forget, December 20th, we're live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May for our next live show, our Christmas Spectacular. I wanted to see you there. And don't forget, this coming Saturday night, I'll be on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Failla. Oh, yeah, baby, it's happening for real. It's not a drill. Have a great rest of your night. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.